So, what if I told you today that God, the creator of everything and all things, that He has created a special place and a special work and a special family for you to be part of, that is uniquely suited to you. And this work is as glorious as the actual work of creation. And I wonder if we have somewhere have thought of just the creation process. Like, it's something that I think about a lot. I think about what it must have been like with God speaking, and as He speaks into the dark, in this formless void, like earth and stars and moon and sun and animals and rivers and flowers, all of these things form by His voice. And to me, when I think about it, I'm more of a visual person. When I think of pictures and things, when I think about it, I just think like, wow, it must have been such a sight to see this happen in front of you. And that same process, that same thing that is happening, I believe God is still creating in our lives. He's still making space. And I want to say to you this morning, I'm so used to preaching in the morning, that God is creating a space for you and for me that is unique. And in this space, He has, before the foundations of the earth, Scripture says, He's been mindful of us, been mindful of what He wanted to do with us. Like, God is that big that in Him saying, let there be light, or let there be mountains and rivers and fish in the sea and animals on the land, simultaneously, He is mindful that you and me were here today. And knowing that where we find ourselves, that here He has created even a special place for us, not just to be and to receive, but actually take part of what He is doing in the earth. Mm-hmm. And so my question to you is, would you want the keys to open up the door and step into that place of where you actually receive the place and the talents and the people and the spaces that God has created for you? Because I know if that was asked for me, I would say, yes, I want that. I want that. And so this morning, I want to start off with a scripture. And it's in Ephesians 2, verse 14. And we're going to read just a portion of scripture. I don't know how Henrico, whether he uses long scriptures for the guys in each meet. I love long scriptures. We love the word. We're going to quickly look at this. It says this: For Christ himself has brought peace to us. Okay, that one's a bit different, so I'll read here. For Christ himself has made peace between us Jews and you Gentiles by making us all one people. He has broken down the wall of hostility that used to separate us. By his death, he ended the whole system of Jewish law that excluded the Gentiles. His purpose was to make peace between the Jews and the Gentiles by creating in himself one new person from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by the means of his death. And our hostility towards each other was put to death. He has brought us this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and to us Jews who were near. Now, all of us, both Jews and Gentiles, may come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit of what Christ has done for us. So now, Gentiles, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all God's holy people. You are members of God's family. We are His house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Jesus Christ Himself. We who believe are carefully joined together, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. That's it? No? There we go. And through Him, you Gentiles are also joined together as part of this dwelling where God lives by His Spirit. And so you might be thinking, God, what are you talking about Jews and Gentiles here? Like, most of us are actually Gentiles, in case you were wondering. Mm-hmm. But we all are very aware that even though we're all Gentiles, there are many things that separate us. There are many things that want to bring, that one says, the hostility, that wants to bring hostility between me and the person next to me. Amen? Yeah. It's all around us. It's all around the world. We hear of war and robbery and murder and all these things. And those things build in us this idea that the person next to me is most probably hostile towards me. I just don't know it yet. But within the church and within the kingdom of God, let me not say that, within the kingdom of God, God actually comes and He says, I take away that hostility between Jew and Gentile, and I make them all to become one. Mm-hmm. And I want to say to us here, the church is not like family. The church is family.
Amen.
There's many pictures that the scripture gives of what the church and what the kingdom is like. But family is that one that is not just like it. He calls the church His family. He calls the kingdom His family, His household. So, I want to emphasize this. In the ESV, those last two scriptures says this. It says, in whom, so it speaks of Christ as the foundation, as the cornerstone. It says, in whom the whole structure, in every person, all of it, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. It's like we grow together. We don't just find ourselves and go, okay, it's not like Lego pieces, it's like, no, actually, it's something of a growing together. And then it says this, and in Him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So it's not just that we grow together, but it's actually God's heart that we are built together, and that when we are together, that we experience something more of God than I can just find by myself. And so this evening, here we are, broken it. This evening, whatever you want to call it. I believe that the Lord wants to come and do something here. Yeah. And He wants to break something. He wants to break hostility.
Yeah. Come on. Sure.
And even as I'm speaking about this, I know that you might have certain ideas, but Rian, you don't understand. Yeah. I've experienced this before. I've seen this before. I've heard this before. And I want to say to you, like, just for a moment, just allow the Lord to come and speak to you. I'm not expecting that you just take my words, because you don't know me. But I do know that as I'm speaking, that there's something of the Holy Spirit that is coming, and He's touching in your heart. And the fact that that thing rises up, but Rian, you don't understand, but Rian, is something of an indication that there might be something here where you have closed off to that part in your heart. And I want to ask this evening, afternoon, if you come and say, Lord, just come and speak to me in this.
Yes.
And the Lord can tell you, no. What He says is nonsense. And then do that. But if God is saying, hey, maybe there is something there.
Yeah.
Actually, I do want you to be part of my church,
yes.
part of my family,
yes.
that we give into it and allow him to come into it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen. Amen?
So let's close our eyes. Father, we want to thank you this evening for your church. We thank you this evening that as we come together, God, that we can be confident in this, that we can know that you are here.
Yes, Lord.
Tonight, God, we're not depending on chariots and horses or good preachers or amazing programs or good worship songs. But God, we want to meet with your spirit tonight. We want you to come and to come and touch each and every one of our hearts. We want to know tonight that you are here and that you are working.
Yeah.
So I pray right now, Father, for us, and that you would come through your Holy Spirit and you would touch our hearts. Because outside of you, God, we are not interested in anything that anyone has to say. And I pray in this time that you would come and refresh, renew, restore and reconcile the places in our hearts where we have gone cold and hard and have separated ourselves from being planted and growing into and being built into your body and your church and family. In Jesus' name, amen. Cool. So, I'm going to give you a title for my message, okay? And the title is this. It's the A, B, C of Jesus, you, and me. Okay. It's got a like a rhythm to it. Okay. I know the ancient guys feel like you might have heard it, and they have. But it's something different for you guys. We fool ourselves if we think we need to consistently come up with new things. We all want to try and get that new message, that new thing. But God is actually, God is saying the same thing over and over and over in different ways. Because he's trying to get our attention. And since the beginning, we can see that even in the Garden of Eden, the very thing that God wanted to build was family. From the very beginning. It's never changed. It's still the same. It's still his plan. It is still what he is doing. Most of us, we walk into church, and as we walk into church, we kind of look at, do they have coffee? That's one of the things I look at first. Do they not have coffee? What does the place look like? Are the people friendly? Is the worship good? Is the preacher nice to listen to, you know, what? And based on those things, we kind of decide, should I be here or not be here? And what happens is, we can sometimes find ourselves in a place where we're walking and everybody is happy and they are friendly and we feel like, okay, wow, this is great. And a week goes by, and 2 weeks goes by, and you know, you're enjoying this thing, and you start starting in and go like, hey, this is my church. And as you start feeling like this is my church, you start going like, cool, I want to serve in the sound team, or the coffee team, or worship, or kids work. And you start plugging in. But after a while, you kind of like realize, but hey, I remember coming in, everyone was friendly, and everyone was inviting me to coffees and to this, but why do I feel so alone right now? And we start looking at the church, and we start looking at people, and we start thinking, actually, it's all just fake. It's just happy to see a new person, but once you are here, then all of a sudden, you fade into the background. I know that experience. The thing is this, family is not something that we find. Family is something that we build. You hear that? Family is something that we build. And I believe for us as the church, that we come to Jesus and we find him and he restores us and he brings us into this relationship and then he adds us to church, because church is his body. It's part of his kingdom. We can't serve God and not be available to his church. You hear me? And as we come and we're part of his church, he places us there. The scripture said, God puts the lonely into family. When we think of this scripture that we just read, it says, to you Gentiles that were far away, God has come and he's brought you near. Even to the Jew who was near, he says, I'm building you even deeper into. Because there's a body, and in this body, God takes Jew and Gentile, white and black and colored and Asian and Russian and Chinese and whatever else. He takes all of us and he brings us in and he makes us one. And the place where he makes us one is in his family. But once we are there, it's not something that we just receive. No, it's now we have received from Jesus everything that we need. Now it's something that needs to grow and needs to work out of us towards others. Why do I say that? Because Jesus has come and he gives us himself. And he takes away the sin, the thing that separated us from him and or from God, or that separated us from God and God's presence. And he places himself inside of us. And as he places himself inside of us, what is meant to happen is his blood and his life is meant to start flowing out of us. So we're meant to become like Jesus. You agree with me?
Yes.
And so if we're meant to become like Jesus, it means that we can't wait for family to come to us. No, actually, we need to be like Jesus. That's always going towards family. That's where he's calling us as a church, as a people. And the beautiful thing about that is, he doesn't just say to you, you need to do it, you need to think up, how are you going to do this? No, he gives us his Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And so if we're going to be thinking according to our own understanding, according to where we have come out of, we're going to try and find family. But if we're going to think according to God's ways and according to his Spirit, we're going to realize we are building family. Because that's Jesus. He builds the family towards himself. He builds, he goes, seeks out those who are lost and brings them in. He takes the lonely and he puts them into family. That is building. And each and every one of us that are here, that are a believer in Jesus and the work that he's done on the cross and who he says he is and what he said he's going to do, not just on the earth, but in the time to come when he comes back. If you believe in him, that is meant to be the same nature that is getting worked out in you. That we are coming to build. We're coming to seek out. We're coming to share the life, the family, the love that God has placed in you. Amen?
Amen.
So, this is scripture. Romans 8, 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And so family is built through the Spirit of God. And it's as we do and move and trust in that, where we ourselves even get rooted and where we get to stand firm on the fact that he is our Father and we are his sons. Amen?
Amen.
So, let's go here. Galatians 6. Verse 9 to 10 says this, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Okay? That sounds like someone that is working. Will you agree with me?
Yeah.
It's not someone that sits and just says, serve me. Serve me with family. Serve me with love. No. It sounds like someone that is working, that is helping, that is greeting, that is hugging, that is serving. And he says here, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. And so as we love, as we give support, as we build family, there is a reward for us that's waiting if we don't give up. Okay? And then carries on to say, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those who are in the household of faith, family. This is not there for Enrico and Elise and some of the community leaders. It doesn't say there, no, it says everyone. Everyone, let us, in all who hear this, let us do good. Let us go. Let us go. Especially to those in the household of faith. Now, the ABCs is this. ABC is kind of like the first letters that you learn. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. K-L-M-N-O. I'm just mimicking my little daughter. She said some. It's the start of our speaking. It's the start of our language. It's the start of how we communicate, how we understand what's being said. Okay, so it's vital that we understand ABC. Okay, but it's not just the start. It's the very thing that everything else gets built on. You agree with me? It's, if we remove ABC, then all of our words will start not making sense. And so it's important for us to realize that even within the kingdom, there are some foundations in the household of God what we need to live according to. It's the start. But it's not just the start. It's the thing that holds everything together. And as we exercise these basic things, the whole body matures, it grows, and it finds its way. And we don't just receive it, but we then build family. Both into ourselves, but also in those that are around us. Amen?
Amen.
Because God's heart is not just that I am okay. No. His heart is that each and every person, there's a special work, there's a special place, there's a special purpose for each one in his house. And we get to walk it out with God. I was speaking to someone earlier today and just talking about a number of things, but the one thing we cannot do in heaven one day is discover and walk with God. You know what I'm saying there? Because scripture says to us that one day, when Jesus comes back and takes us with him into the eternity, we will become completely aware and fully know who God is. Everything will be revealed to us. So on that moment, discovery won't happen anymore. Because we will know and understand fully who God is, what his plan was, and what he is doing. But here on earth today, we have the opportunity to be able to walk with God. To be able to discover, God, what are you doing? Where are you working? How do you want to do it? And before Jesus was here, what happened was no one had that connection. They had to go through a priest. They had to go to a temple, and there was only a high priest that would then go in and spend time in the Holy of Holies, making sacrifices for the people of God. But Jesus, who is our high priest, He has made that ultimate sacrifice so that you and me can now join Him in the Holy of Holies. Because when we come into the presence, we come through Jesus. And it is shown that the price has been paid. The sacrifice has been made. We are now worthy to step into the presence of God. And we have that as access to us daily here. You get what I'm saying? And as we build family, we get to exercise and understand and hear the voice of God walk with us daily. And we get to discover, God, what is your heart? Because He is our Father and we are His children. And He wants to walk with us. And I want to encourage you to that. Like, don't for one moment think that God wants to hide Himself from you. No, God has done really a big work so that me and you can approach Him with boldness. Knowing that He's a good Father. Knowing that He wants to speak to us. So I want to encourage you. Step out in that. Say, Lord, I want to hear You. I want to know You. I want to walk with You. So, John 15 verse 4 says this. Abide in Me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine. And neither can you, unless you abide in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in Me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from Me, you can do nothing. And so God comes and says, actually, I want to abide in you. I want you to abide in Me. And so our first letter, A, is abide. Remember, we're doing ABC. Abide. See, we cannot do this life or anything unless we are found in Him. Unless we are connected to Him. Unless we search Him out. God is not looking for head knowledge. God's looking for connection with us. That's why Jesus came and paid the price. Is so that we can have connection with God. Here. Not just one day. Not through a high priest. No, that we can have it with Him. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And through the scripture, He's saying, if you are connected to Me, you will bear much fruit. That's the place that He's made for us. And so in our pursuit to build family and to find the people of God, the body of God, we are first meant to abide and make sure that we are part of Him. Amen? Second thing, B, is belonging. Belonging is this, Romans 12. For as in one body we have many members, and the members don't all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Thing is this, as we abide in God, we come to realize and we come to see His heart. And as we see His heart and come to hear His voice, we realize that actually His heart is beaming for His children. Both those that are in His kingdom, but also those who are yet to come into His kingdom. Those who are lost. Jesus said, I came to seek and save those who are lost. And so as we abide in Him, we find this place of where actually we start realizing, but actually we don't just belong to God, but we belong to God's kingdom. And God's kingdom and God's body that He's prepared, and the place that He's given, is His church. It's the believers and the people in His church. And so as we abide, we start finding our belonging. But as we start finding our belonging, we realize, again, this house needs to be Something needs to happen in this house. Somebody needs to pack up the chairs. Somebody needs to share the coffee. Somebody needs to clean the dishes. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
And that's where seed comes in. Contribution. A contribution. Listen to this. Romans 12, it says, having gifts, verse 6, having gifts that differ according to grace, to the grace given to us, let us use them. And so, a couple of scriptures, it's not up there, but just before that, it says that God has given to the church, the people, gifts. And having given these gifts, and these gifts differ according to the grace given to each person. Okay? Because we are uniquely formed. And to each of us, God has given a special work, a special thing for us to work out and to live out. Amen? And then he says this. He says, let us use it. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. Faith. If service, in our serving, to the one who teaches in his teaching, to the one who exhorts in his exhortation, to the one who contributes in generosity, to the one who leads with zeal, to the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And so it makes space for each and every one to actually exercise what God has given.
Yeah.
And as we exercise what God has given, we realize like, whoa! Man, God, I found you and you placed me in this family, like where there's a belonging. And actually, as I find my place in the belonging, there is something of where they need what I have. And here I give it. And man, I can see your body is built up. And in that moment of where you realize the body is built up by what I've given, you know what the beautiful thing is that happens? It drives me back. It's almost like a recycling sign. It drives me back to go, God, I'm so thankful for who you are.
Yeah.
It drives me back to that place of where I want to abide more in him. Because I see what he said, what he's given, what he's asked of me to do, actually produces life.
Mm.
And that's the process of us becoming more like Jesus. And so as I abide, I belong even more. And as I belong, I contribute. And as I contribute, I want to abide more. I want to belong more. Because I want to contribute more. And as I contribute, I want to abide more. That is God's heart for us.
Yeah.
That is God's heart for us. It is a Western mindset to think that we walk into church and all of a sudden, it needs to be the perfect place that says the right thing, does the right thing, looks the right way, treats me the right way, just so that I can, at the end of the day, feel satisfied. Feel like I've gotten something of worth. No. That salvation that Jesus gave you is everything that you need. And that salvation has made space for you within the body of God to belong and to contribute. Which is the greatest privilege that we have. Because we get to work with, walk with, and discover how God wants to work. Man, if only we could understand this. But really let it sink into our heart. And so what it produces and where it comes from, and some of you might know this, if you're part of Josh Jen and 4:12, you will hear these scriptures a lot. Ephesians 4:11 to 16, and I'm going to read it just for a bit. And it says this, and he gave, Jesus, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ.
Yeah.
So he's given you don't have to go there just yet. He's given those gifts so that the saints, the body that forms part of the body, that they can be built up. Now, I'm going to just shift to another translation, because it says it a little bit better for us to understand. It says, this will continue, or until we come to such unity. So it's given these things, it builds the body up, until we come to such unity in our faith and our knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature and full grown in the Lord. If you are not part of the household of God, it's impossible for you to become full grown and mature in the Lord. Because you are not able to be unlocked and to be blown wind into your sails through the gifts that God has given to do that very deed. You get what I'm saying? And then it goes on. It says, measuring up to the full stature of Christ. So I just want to read it in a different way. It says, this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. This is coming to that understanding truly of what Jesus has done in me and how He is working out my life into eternity. Okay? Then it carries on and says this. Then, as these things keep working in us, then we will no longer be like immature children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of teaching. We won't be influenced by people trying to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. He makes, this is Jesus, He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. The church is such a special place. See, it's not a thing that each and every one of us have to do something so that this thing works. It's not a machine. It's not an organization. No, it's an organism. And in our body, there is not one cell, there is not one thing in your body that is not actively doing something. In your body. And it's doing something so that everything can work. So that everything can mature, so that we can grow, so that we can walk, so that we can run, so that we can do things. And so it's the very same thing with the church. Each and every one of you here have an opportunity to be part of what God is doing. Not just here in this room, but actually you are something of what God wants to do within Potchefstroom. And to think that, man, it doesn't matter whether I'm at church or not at church. It's like your arm, it's like you're waking up. I don't know if it's ever happened to you where you fall asleep and your arm is all of a sudden dead and you go like, who's this? Who's this? Like, ah! I don't know why I said that now. Do you think I don't make a difference at church? It's actually just for your arm to go, you know what, today, I don't need part of this body. I want to go find another body. I want to say to you, Potter's Throne. And when we look in our experience of our team as we've been here, man, this place is so special.
Mm-hmm.
And God is doing a special work.
Yes.
Whether it feels like that to you or not.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want to dare you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Big word. I want to dare you to kind of put your faith out there and say, God, what is it that you want to do here in Potchefstroom?
Yes.
God, would you maybe just show me, or at least stir up something in my heart of what you want to do? And I am full of faith that as you do that, God is faithful to come and show you. But the warning is this. Once we have seen what God wants to do, then we know. And then it's much more difficult for us to step away and say, no, God, not me. And that's why I'm saying I'm daring you. Because I think it's dangerous and awesome and beautiful and glorious all at the same time. But it's for those who actually want to say, God, I want to believe you, who you say you are, and what you want to come and do here. Amen?
Amen.
So can I ask maybe if we can close our eyes? Maybe Adam, please. I want to ask you that as you close your eyes, just to think about your life. See, Jesus has taken hold of you. Jesus has taken hold of you. And he said to you, I want you to be part of me. And as you're part of me, you become part of my kingdom and of my house. It's not on our terms, it's on his terms. It's his house. He is the father. He is the head. And it might be that through life and through different situations, whether it's been your own choosing or whether it's been people that have not handled it the right way and it's hurt you and made you disappointed or made you kind of give up on this idea that God's house is important, I want to ask you to know this afternoon that you allow him to come and work and touch everything.